Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did everybody get an offering envelope? Needed one. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Well, let's pray and you can give this morning. Father, we thank you for seed we sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom. And you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. And for that, we give you glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. My iPad come jumping out of the truck this morning and cracked itself on me. It's getting old. Getting slow and old. But I'll tell you what, it's tough. Battle back from that. Hallelujah. Like some of us. Amen. 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 Anybody else? God is good this morning. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I feel a little more whole this morning. Some of our family members we haven't seen a lot lately are here. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is so, so good. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ready? All right. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, I just ask you, Lord God, to anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 15. I said last week, well, I started a series last week on the six I am's that Jesus said he was. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Amen. And here we're going to study, I am the true vine, he says. Amen. So in John 15, verse 1, page 1471, you got a Bible like mine. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, Jesus talking about being a vine here, it was not something that was foreign to his listeners in the first century. And I'll probably read some of those scriptures next week, but the Old Testament is full of scriptures that God said he planted a vine. Okay, so this was nothing unusual. And what we find here in John the 15th chapter, especially early here in the first two verses, we find three players. We find the vine dresser, we find the vine, and then there's the branches. Amen. The vine dresser being God the Father, the vine being Jesus, and you and I being the branches. Now, this particular passage of scripture, Jesus is simply teaching that it is your job in the kingdom to be fruitful. You don't get born again to go to heaven. You get born again because God is putting you in a position to be fruitful. And I'll prove it to you this morning. Let's go to verse 2. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The term or the phrase take away here is a Greek word called aero. You pronounce it a hero, long he, a hero. And it doesn't mean to take away. It's translated that way a lot, but it really a much better way to translate this word is to reposition or to lift up. How many of you ever grew any tomato plants? How many of those tomato plants, once they get so big and tomatoes start coming out, you gotta tie them up. You gotta lift them up. Because if the tomato forms on the ground, it's going to rot really fast. Or if it's wet, the vine's going to rot. So you reposition that vine in order that it will become more fruitful. And that's the vine dresser's job. The vine dresser repositions the branches in order that they might be more fruitful. Everybody with me? All right? Why? What is the goal of the vine dresser? The guy that takes care of the vines. His whole goal is to make sure that vine, those branches that are attached to that vine, are fruitful. Amen. They're producing fruit. All right, now, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 9. We're coming back to John, so I keep my finger there. Colossians, I'll have to tell you what page when I get there. God has positioned you in a place where you can be fruitful. All right? Let's look at verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 9, for this reason, page 1671. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And I'm going to go back to verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. You see that word? And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering for joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now watch. He has delivered you, or repositioned you, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So when you got born again, it had nothing to do with heaven. Certainly, that's part of it, okay? But God repositioned you from the power and the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love in order that you might be more fruitful. See, that vine dresser picks that branch up and ties it off in order that it can be more fruitful. God has positioned you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in order that you can what? Be more fruitful. Everything the vine dresser does is in order for the branches to be more fruitful. Let's look at what Paul says over here in Ephesians. He says it just a little differently. Same thing, just a little different. Hallelujah. Verse 4. But God, this is chapter 2, verse 4, page 1647. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Now, how many of you know God loves you?
Amen.
All right. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. Where? In Messiah Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Messiah Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So spiritually speaking, when you're born again, God has repositioned you. The vine dresser has repositioned you in Messiah. So that you can be what? Fruitful. Now look what Paul says in verse 11, talking about the Gentiles as a whole. He says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. Glory to God. Not only has he put you in a position to bear fruit, he's put you in a position of promise and a position where you can have hope. I mean, there's a large portion of this world that has no hope today, or they think they have no hope. Amen? So, you got this part? The vine dresser, he will take the branch and reposition it so that it can bear more fruit. Now, I want to tell you this. The vine dresser, he's got ultimate authority over that vine.
Amen.
You with me? See, we don't like that sometimes. We don't, as independent folks, we don't like anybody to tell us what to do. Sometimes we don't even want God to tell us what to do. All right, let me read you this. He may move you from a place of comfort and self-assurance to one of uncertainty, but greater trust in him and greater fruit than you planned. Ooh, did you get that? I'll read that to you again. He may move you from a place of comfort and self-assurance to one of uncertainty, but greater trust in him and greater fruit than you planned. Wow. You know, for 6 months, our family business, we've lost a little business. God still blessed it. Everybody's still fat. But, you know, this week was a tough week, and Thursday was really tough because I had to sit across from two ladies, and they were just pounding me with questions. I felt like I was on the witness stand, you know. And after 8 hours, my head was swimming. And my brother said the same thing, and he was dealing with some other stuff, you know. So he was swimming. The only one that was shining was Corey, my youngest son. You know, he's the only one that seemed to be right on point. I'm just glad he was there. But my point is this. we've been wondering about all this. Why are we in this position? You know, did we do something to get in this position? No, I don't think so. You know, some people say, what did I do to get in this position? But see, you know, God has placed us in a position now that we've got a little bit of work to do, but God give us favor with those ladies. Amen? And you know, when I was studying this week for this message, I realized that the vine dresser is simply repositioning the vine in order that we might produce more fruit. Now, you know, Debbie and I went to church in Huntington at a large church. In its heyday, it was running 600 in the morning and sometimes 900 at night. And we were the youth pastors. And we gave everything we had to that church. We're talking about we gave money, we gave time, we gave effort. If there was something going on, being on staff, you were required to be there. And I was there. But then we kind of got shoved out the door. You ever been shoved out the door? We kind of got shoved out the door. And somebody lied on me. The associate pastor lied on me. You know? And it took almost a couple years later that the senior pastor realized that he had been lied to too, and he brought me in and apologized to me. However, I wouldn't be here had God not repositioned me. You with me? See, sometimes, repositioning, here's the difference. Repositioning and pruning. Here's the difference, because that's the next thing that Jesus says. He says, sometimes he takes away or he repositions, but sometimes he prunes. Now, if you've ever seen a grapevine, grapevines get real, they get leaves on them. And they get big leaves. And so sometimes he's got to prune those leaves because the leaves are preventing the sunshine from getting to the branches in order for the fruit to grow. Amen. Now, sometimes the pruning doesn't feel really good. You with me? Sometimes it doesn't feel real good. So you got to know that it's God that's repositioning you, or that it's God that is trimming you back. Amen. Anybody ever remember the movie Richard Dreyfuss was in called Mr. Holland's Opus? Amen. Mr. Holland's Opus. He wanted to write a symphony and be famous and rich. Remember the movie? Amen. He wanted to write this symphony so he could be famous and rich. But he ended up taking a job teaching music in a school. And of course he started having, his son was deaf, and you know, you got bills to pay, you got a son to take care of. And so what he thought was just temporary became 35 years. 35 years he was in that job. And when the school system came and they said, man, we're going to have to cut out the music and drama department. He went to battle for them. But at the end of the school year, when the last day was over, his wife comes and his son comes and they're helping gather all his stuff out of the desk. Remember that? And so they're going down the hall and they hear some noise coming from the auditorium. Of course, his wife was in on it, and the whole auditorium was full of students that he had taught in 35 years. And one of them was the governor of the state. And the governor of the state got up and she spoke to the crowd. She spoke to Mr. Holland and she said something on the a manner of, you know, we know that your goal was to be famous and rich and to write this symphony. But she said, look around you, Mr. Holland. Here's your symphony. See, God had moved him into a different position, had to prune that desire back in order for him to produce fruit. And he had a whole 35 years of students that he had touched. That's for you. He had 35 years of students that he had touched. Amen. Teresa's touched more lives than we'll ever think of. Amen. We couldn't get them all in the Ironton Auditorium. Amen. All right, let me keep going here. I got to get back to pruning. Now, here's a problem with the pruning. See, branches who think or are convinced that comfort is the object resent the pain of the vine dresser's pruning. See, I used to think that faith was an instrument in which I controlled God. And that, you know, if my bank accounts weren't full, and I wasn't driving a new car, and I didn't have a big house, then I wasn't anointed. Now, some of you heard that too. But you know what? That ain't true. That ain't true. But see, when you believe that, and God's trying to trim you back, you resist the pruning. Don't get me wrong. God's a God of love and wants to bless you. But God cares less about the car you drive and more about the fruit you're producing in His kingdom.
Amen.
Help me now. All right? Now, let me say this. I don't want to forget this. God has the right to take people and situations out of our life to suit His plan. Ooh. He's the vine dresser, remember? He's in control of the vine and the branches. And He has a right to remove anybody or anything or any situation out of your life in order that you might produce fruit. A long time ago, a pastor told me, he said, you know, there's some people in your life, you're not going to be able to preach the gospel with those people in your life. And you know what? They got removed out of my life. I mean, he wasn't normally a prophet, but on that occasion, he was. Okay? He knew what he was talking about. But you know what? God has that ultimate right as the vine dresser. Turn to the book of Ruth, page 325, if you got a Bible like mine, or no, 345, 352, if you got a Bible like mine. If not, it's right behind Judges. You got Joshua and Judges and Ruth. Hallelujah. Verse 1. I'll wait. Chapter 1. God has a right to remove anybody, anything, or any situation out of your life that you might bear more fruit. Verse 1. We there? Page 352. Hallelujah. Here we go. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites. Ephratite was they called them Ephratites because they were from Ephrates. Ephrates was like the county where Bethlehem was located. Like Ironton is in the county of Lawrence, okay? Bethlehem was in that region they called Ephratah, okay? So they were Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived with her two sons. Then both the woman survived with her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So both sons die, husband dies, she's left with two daughter-in-laws. Orpah leaves, goes back to the Moabites. But Ruth hangs in there with her. Ruth goes with her. How many know the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the church at Rome, he said, God can get good out of a bad situation to them who love him. We always say the first part. God can get good out of a bad situation, but we always leave out the qualifier, to them or for them who love him. Amen. So here was a bad situation. These people were removed out of Naomi's life, and her and Ruth are going to go back to Israel, and they have nothing. All right, let's pick it up over here in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13. Glory to God. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Did God take those two boys of her and her husband? No. But God took that situation, and he got good out of it, and her grandson from Naomi became the father of Jesse, the father of David, the lineage of Messiah. Amen. Amen. What happened there? When the difficulty happened, God repositioned her. Amen. In order that they might produce more fruit. Amen. Amen. All right, let me keep going here. Now, I gotta tell you this. When God is pruning, "Oh God, I can't take it anymore." I know some of you have been there. Because some of you are related to me. Some of you not, but I know y'all probably been there. Remember this. When God's pruning, he's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He's pruning. If it was time for God's wrath in your life, you'd be gone. Squashed like a bug. He's not mad. He's not angry. He's a loving heavenly father. And when he's pruning, he's teaching, he's guiding, much like we do our children, especially when they're small. Do it when they're small, because it gets tougher when they're older. Amen. Amen. We know that. Amen. Problem is, we put our parents through that. Amen. So remember, God's not angry. And let me say this to you. Only the vine dresser prunes. Other branches, they don't prune. So quit telling people what you think. You're not the vine dresser. You can't prune. Only he can prune. Amen. All right, let me see. So we know the vine dresser, we know he repositions. We know he prunes. Now, there's two kinds of branches. One is connected. One's disconnected. But in the ones that are disconnected, there's two types. All right? Some who just refuse to remain connected. Let's go back to John real quick. John 15. Back to John. Let's look in verse 6 here. John 15, verse 6. See the second or the third thing this vine dresser does. Verse 6. Jesus says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." So the third thing that the vine dresser does, when he sees old dead branches that are disconnected from the vine, But see, they might be laying in the vine and they might be shielding other branches from getting the sunlight they need to produce. What's the vine dresser do? He removes those dead branches. You know, I'm afraid today there are a lot of people in churches today that are dead branches. Amen. I read this story this week. It was about a missionary in Africa. And the missionary had a little house made out of wood, and it was set up off the ground. And he had electric. But his electric came in just one line and had one light bulb there hanging off that wire. And so he had some of the native Africans that were over to his house.